From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Two Haines residents in their 20s and 30s are still missing following Wednesday's massive slide brought by heavy storms. As KHNS's Claire Stremple reports, the search effort was suspended at dusk with rescuers planning to resume at first light.
Governor Mike Dunleavy made a formal disaster declaration following the landslides that destroyed houses in Haines. He made the announcement via Twitter. Meanwhile, the search continued Thursday for David Simmons and Janae Larson, who have been unaccounted for since a massive slide devastated as many as four houses the day before. They lived at the same Beach Road property, now buried in rock, mud, and debris. Janae Larson graduated Haines High School in 2016 and was hired this year to teach at the elementary school. Roy Getchell, superintendent of schools, calls her a beloved kindergarten teacher.
She's somebody that kids look up to and somebody that colleagues, you know, especially even though she's young, somebody that her colleagues look up to as well for her just positive nature and her wisdom and truthfully our just amazement in how well she's done as a brand new teacher this year.
The other missing person is David Simmons, who was hired earlier this year to head the Haines Economic Development Corporation.
I spoke to David about 2 hours before the landslide.
Randall Simmons is David's father.
He called me and just was letting me know that there's a lot of rain going on. And I said, thank God you're up in the hills. You're not down where the flooding's going to be. And I figured he was safe as could be, you know, up the road there.
He got the call from David's girlfriend, Libby Jacobson, just hours later to say the structures had been swept away and his son was missing. He says his son, David Simmons, was well-traveled and spoke several languages. He'd lived abroad, but settled in Southeast Alaska after visiting his cousin here in Haines.
Of all the places around the entire world, Haines was his home forever. And then he met Libby, and his life is on such a wonderful path. He was so happy.
Now, Randall Simmons is waiting for updates at his home in Chico, California. David Simmons recently spearheaded a drive for residents to shop locally during the pandemic. Those that worked with him say he's already made his mark on the wider region.
David is a pleasure to work with, really smart, energetic, also doing some good work in Haines in addition to the working with us delivering assistance to businesses across the state.
Brian Holst runs the Juneau Economic Development Council.
I know he's a strong, capable person, so I'm holding out hope that all is well for him.
As darkness fell around 3 p.m. Thursday, Haines Mayor Douglas Olrude announced the search would be suspended until morning light.
Coastline search and helicopter surveys were conducted today. They will resume tomorrow. Ground is currently unstable for a ground search.
As darkness fell around 3 p.m. Thursday, Haines Mayor Douglas Olrude announced the search would be suspended until morning light. The ongoing recovery is supplemented by firefighters from across Southeast Alaska, U.S. Coast Guard personnel, and first responders from state agencies. The Haines Borough has declared a local disaster, with dozens displaced and roads blocked by flooding and debris. With saturated ground from record rainfall, a flash flood watch remains in effect across all of Haines and Skagway until at least Friday afternoon. Reporting in Haines, I'm Claire Stremple.
Community organizations in Juneau are asking for help with the emergency response in Haines. Jason Wilson is the incident commander for the Central Council Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. He says the fastest way to help is to donate on the council's website. There's also a supply drop-off location at the Bonnell Building in Juneau at 5750 Concrete Way.
Tlingit and Haida has looked at the resources that we have on hand with trying to assist the community and those people that have been displaced with shelters, as well as bedding. We're looking at food, water.
Haines is a community of about 2,000 people. Just one road runs in and out of it, and the border with Canada is currently closed. Emergency supplies must come in by boat or plane. Wilson says the council is delivering supplies to Haines by boat today to serve those immediate needs.
Second or third wave would include some sort of food drive, as well as maybe some sort of clothes, jackets, clothing material.
The council also has a field operator on the ground to help assess the situation. Wilson says he doesn't know of any tribal citizens who are directly impacted, but the council will help anyone affected. Genevieve Wachtasik is with the Red Cross of Southeast Alaska. She says there are currently 3 volunteers on the ground to provide immediate assistance and more on the way.
We know around 56 people are seeking immediate services due to ordered evacuation or stranded travelers that need to get to their homes or to their next destination.
It's expected to continue raining in Haines for the next week. And in Sitka, the Sitka School Board will consider acknowledging Tlingit lands when it formally opens its meetings if a proposal introduced on Wednesday gets traction. The so-called land acknowledgement is a sign of respect towards Alaska's indigenous populations, and many government bodies are adopting a statement of gratitude as a policy. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The proposal for a land acknowledgement was introduced by board member Blossom Twitchell, who is not Tlingit, but Inupiaq. Twitchell said that an acknowledgement was about more than board policies and procedures.
This is an actionable step of tangible evidence that we are open to acknowledging the land that we are living on.
The land acknowledgement has already been adopted by government entities like the Anchorage Assembly, the Fairbanks School Board, and the Ketchikan City Council. In Sitka, the acknowledgement, which reads something like, "We are grateful to be guests on Tlingit Ani," is beginning to be seen often on email letterheads and social media posts. No one on the Sitka School Board pushed back on the proposal itself, but there was concern about the language. Even Twitchell admitted that the acknowledgement would take different forms based on the cultural traditions of a given community. Member Paul Ryu thought the board should do some legwork before adopting the proposal.
I think there's some great language out there that's already been developed, but I certainly think that reaching out to our partners at the tribe, they have an entire cultural resource department to help us with this.
Ryu said that he agreed with the spirit of the proposal, however, and he would look to Twitchell to amend it with the appropriate wording after consultation with tribal citizens. Board President Amy Morrison said her only concern was getting it right. Member Eric Van Sice, however, wondered if the acknowledgement would be a one-time affirmation or something that happened every meeting, like the Pledge of Allegiance. Twitchell responded that there was power in statements and that this one should be made every meeting.
This is positive reinforcement, especially with the historical presence of what education has been within the state and what role education has played with generational trauma and the Indigenous people of Alaska. I think having it stated every meeting and treated just like a flag salute, I think it is meaningful and it would provide much of the healing process of moving forward.
Paul Ryu moved to table the proposal to the board's January meeting to allow time to meet with partners and refine the wording. Member Andrew Hames agreed.
I think this is the right direction to go. I think it should be something to be celebrated, so let's have that conversation first, and then let's do it together.
To which Twitchell responded, definitely. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
In politics, there will be a recount in the Anchorage House race in which Democrat Liz Snyder defeated Republican Representative Lance Pruitt by 13 votes. State Division of Elections workers will start the recount on Friday at 9 a.m. A group of 11 Anchorage residents requested the count yesterday. The residents say they believe an election official made mistakes that could change the result. Anchorage lawyer Stacy Stone represents the residents.
So when an election is that close and there's that margin of votes between the two candidates, then even the smallest error can change the outcome of the election.
The recount application says some ballots where the voters' intent to vote for Pruitt was clear weren't counted. There were multiple questioned ballots, and there was a failure to ensure that absentee voter ballot certificates were properly completed. In addition, the application says there was a failure to properly confirm the results following an electronic count, citing concerns with the Dominion voting system that the state recently bought. State law allows either candidates or at least 10 voters to request recounts. Recounts have changed the outcome of 4 legislative races in Alaska history. 3 of those changes broke ties, but Snyder's lead is larger than the changes in those recounts. The state will pay for the cost of the recount because the candidates finished with a 0.5% of each other. This is KTOO News 104.3 FM in Juneau.